Yud-Tes Kislev, Friday the 22nd of November, Rabbi Moshe Yitzchak Vorhand. A few aspects from the Sedra.
That's what Paisim Lechloi Tachsani is a Moedhi Gewalti Gezach, that straight after davening one sits and one learns, that's mentioned in the Shulchan Aruch, that one should go from this Knesset to this Medrash, and that when you start the day with Torah, the whole day is a different day. As we see Chazal or Maflik, the Indian of Pas Shachis. The body gets food in the morning, straight in the morning, so it's mechazik the body throughout the whole day. And Torah is like Lechem. If one starts the day with Lechem as Torah, the day is a different day. I saw on the nice, colorful posters that I'm going to speak on the Parsha, the Maisa, I prefer to say a Dvar Lucha, but maybe explain why I prefer not to speak on the Parsha, and then we'll say maybe a Dvar Lucha. Which has keshed to the Parsha. The Parsha is split into two inyunim. The first chedik of the Parsha is the inyun of Machloikis Yosef and the Shvutim and the Mechias Yosef. And the second part of the Parsha is the Yosef when he went down to Mitzrayim and all the Nisyonis he had and where he stood firm in the Nisyonis. Regarding the first part of the Parsha, there was a story that there was a Magid in Shulayim called him Tzi Yadla. You heard him, a Bakanta Magid. And there was a Shtikl Machloikas between Gedolei Yisrael about 40 years ago, a bit more than that. Since then, there's also been Leida, yeah, right? And he was reading the posters on the posters in Shulayim walls. You know, all the walls in the Shulayim are full of posters. They say the Satmar of Schein Aruch once said that one of the Nisim of Yerushalayim is the walls don't fall down. There's so many posters. And the Geir Rebbe, the Beis Yisrael, went past and he saw him reading it. So he asked him, Rebbe Nissim, what do you think about this whole Pasha? So he said, you know, it's Pasha's Vayeshev. But Beis Yisrael said, it's not Pasha's Vayeshev, it's Pasha's Noyach. He says, no, but me it's Pasha's Vayeshev. So he explained himself that there was a machloikas in the Volozhin Yeshiva between the Beis Halevi. Well, you do a machloikas between the Beis Halevi and the Netziv. And the Bukhrim, as usual, mixed themselves in. And it became very nishvi's dasizan. And they called the Saba Mekelm. He should make Seyd in Yeshiva. And he came, and he stood up, and he says, Bukhrim, it's Pashas Vayeshev. The Bukhrim says, not Pashas Vayeshev, it's Pashas Veschanam. So he said, in Pashas Vayeshev, the Sedra, the beginning starts with the Machlokas of Yosef HaTzadik and the Shiftei Kar. Now who can take sides here? Who can explain Yosef, who can explain the Shvutim? It's something beneath, it's above our understandings. But we just don't get mixed into this Machlokas between Yosef and the Shvutim. And therefore the Ksav Mekom said, it's Pashas Vayeshev. No one should mix in. We don't understand the Machlokas, the Gedolei Yisrael. As we don't understand the machlokes between the Shiftei Kar and Yosef HaTzadik. So Ben Tzinyad turns to Beis Yisroel and he says, but me it's also Pashas Vayeshev, I'm not mixing in the Beis Yisroel Adanur. So to speak about the first part of the Pasha, well, let's not mix in. It's a safe shooting. What the Kavun of Yosef HaTzadik was, the Kavun of the Shvutim is quite a hard thing. The second part of the Pasha is the Nisyonus of Yosef HaTzadik in Mitzrayim. There was a big tzaddik in Eretz Yisrael that was quite near to him. Rabbi Stifka Rebbe Tzchein Avruch, his name was. He was he used to come Shabbos and he used to mamish be koch in the Pasha. Every Pasha he was in from the beginning of Shabbos to the end of Shabbos, he was completely Rosh Avrim in the Pasha. When it became Pashas Vayeshev, he used to say, there's no need. Sometimes in Pashas one needs to, the Chazal, to understand the Psukim. Hard Pashas to understand. When it comes to Pashas Vayeshev, if one just sits down with the Chumash and reads what went on, it's Mamish Adla Hafli. It's just Pshitikim Hashemur, it's Moradik. One just wants to spoil him. And one leaves all the Tzvurim and the Mefarshim. It's Mamish Lemana Mederech HaTeva. Take Yosef HaTzadik. How old was he? He was 17 years old. A young Bucha of 17 years old. And he wasn't Oisketiv on this world. He had 2 feet on this world. Later on, the whole Mitzrayim was under his wings. He was 2 feet on this world, and he was a buch of 17 years old, and he was taken away from his home, and he was brought to Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim was Ervas Uretz, the worst, from a lowly place on the whole world. Ervas Uretz. straight from the Platz, and there was no one in no towns in Mitzrayim where you could find Epistle, someone who you could speak to, who you could be mechazing himself with. He was in the years long speaking with us, no telephones, no mobiles, etc., etc., and he had no contact with his family, no contact with any Yid, and he held himself with koichus, and he was didn't move from kechut asara as a Yid should be, how a Yid should behave. And if one's just responding on that, there's nothing else one needs to say. And Yosef, it was unbelievable. And Yosef, one doesn't really have to speak about more than that. One has to sit down at your mother's seder, and his mamish pilipluim. I thought, when it comes to the end of the parasha, it's the pella is even much bigger. The middah of Busa Bedom is that a king, who is servant, is loyal to him, so loyal to him, but he does something which is not exactly 100% as he should have done. So he's mevater. Okay, he looks away. You know, he's so loyal, he was so good. He looks away. And we see just the opposite. Like Midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu is just the opposite. Taking all the what we also went through in Mitzrayim, the gewaltige, unbelievable, the Seiros Nefesh, and it came to the end, it came to the story of the Sa'ar Mashkim, so I'm just thinking of Chumash, and it says here that he was the Yachad Vumuhele, and the whole parasha of the Chalomis of the Sa'ar Mashkim and the Sa'ar Oifim, Yosef said two words that weren't really Lefi his Madrege. He said, Ki im zechatani itchu, kashi yitavloch, v'sisu noimudi chesed v'zechatani al paroi. When he was posted the Chalomis, he asked straight away that Yosef, the Sa'ar Mashkim should mention him to paroi. And for this, he put his betuchen on Abu Sibedom, and not on the Rebbeinu Shloilom. Rashi brings down the Chazal at the end of the parasha. HaKadosh Baruch was moisiv another 2 years. He had to stay in the dungeon, in that terrible dungeon there under the earth, because he just said these few words, you know, just remind, when you stand before Paroi, mention me. And all the Mefarshim are Mitchenzech, what was the big Aveira? And they all say that was Lefi Madreges Yosef is HaKadosh Baruch Hu medaktig at stig mechit hasara. And the emes is, in the parasha itself, we see this inyan, this makar, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is medaktig at stig mechit hasara. In the parasha, Bahia HaDvor Ma'il, it starts, it states, Chotzi Mashke Melech Mitzrayim, v'hu oifel adeneyem. The Torah calls the Sa'ar Mashke Mashke. He was a Mashke, he was Mashke Pare. A pusik later, it says, Vayikze Pare al Shnei Sarisov, al Sa'ar Mashke Masa'ar Oifim. Here the Torah calls them the Sa'ar HaMashkim and the Sa'ar Oifim. So why in the Pusi beforehand they called the Mashke V'Oife? And when it says Vayikta Pare became angry on the Shnei Sarisim, the Torah calls them Sa'ar HaMashkim and Sa'ar Oifim. So one looks in the Kleyuka on the Platz there, on the Pusi, the Kleyuka is the Mori de Gazach. Now really, the thing that happened with the Sa'ar HaMashkim was not such a big aveir, not such a big chet. A fly fell into the coast, so it could happen, and it's not his fault. But that's in a simple mashke. That would have been if it had been a simple mashke to Paroi. But someone who's near and sees the godless HaMelech, and has the pachat HaMelech, he has to take an extra precaution to see that nothing should happen. And the nearer you are to the Melech, the more the pachat is, and the more the zehiras there has to be. So it says the Klei Yoke, exactly as Chazal say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu medaktik v'tzadikim chit hasara. Why is HaKadosh Baruch Hu medaktik v'tzadikim chit hasara? Because as close you get to the Melech, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you have to realize and see the godliness from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore the tvir, the taina, is much greater that one doesn't do the things he should. That's why it's a Klei Yoke, very gewaltig. When the Torah speaks about the Sa'ar Mashkim, the Torah calls the Sa'ar Mashkim Sa'ar Oifim and Mashke V'Oifim, because that's what they really were. But when the Torah says Vayiktsev Paroi, Paroi got angry on the Mashke and the Oifim. The reason why he got angry is because they were the Sa'ar Mashkim and Sa'ar Oifim, and the Sa'ar Mashkim and Sa'ar Oifim is as a kiva to the Melech, and they should have understood and should have been more precautious that this thing shouldn't happen. And that's the gewaltigkeit that one sees at the end of the parasha. After Yosef was Oymed ben Esayim, and he was so loyal to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, and he didn't move away Kechut HaSara, the Tzvir, when it came to the story with the Sar Mashkin, was even greater on him. And therefore, when he said these two extra words, Kim Zechatan Yifnei Paroi, he got another 2 years which in the dungeon, which a normal person, which would not a tzaddik, would not have got. So, the Maisa, this parasha is a parasha that really one can excuse themselves. The first part of the parasha is one doesn't speak about the machlokes Yosef HaTzadik and the Shiftika. And the second part of the parasha Be'emes is one just learns the parasha Chumash Rashi as it is without any pshutim is gewaltig. Here's a halacha which is mentioned, and this is the first time I mentioned this parasha, when Yaakov Avinu heard about the terrible besuah happened with Yosef. Steht vayikra Yaakov simloisof vayusam sakma masnim. He was Yaakov Avinu was korea his begudim simloisof. What was the reason why he was korea? Kedin korea lames. He had a simunim. Some sages mavar why the simun was a simun which was enough to be korea, but he had a simun that Yosef was killed, and therefore there is a halacha which is mentioned in the Gemara. And Shechon Aruch, one has to be Korea when one hears a B'sura She'ena Tova. The question is, Vayikra Yaakov Sim Loisov is a Lushan Rabbim. All his clothes. Why did he tear all his clothes? The Din Korea Loyalene, one loses a child, one is Korea, just the one Begad. The Begad above, but not all the Begudim Adshi Gala Liboy. If one loses Chasashun and parents, one is Korea. Called the good of Achi Galilei, and here it says Vayikra Yaakov Sim Loisov Lushan Rabin. So the answer is, and that's what the Sforim say, and I think the Netziv also says that in Emek Hadova, that the Daluch is, which is mentioned Shechon Aruch by a Talmud Chochem, by Gud Lador, by a Rebbe, there is a Daluch that one should be Koreh all their begudim, and Yaakov Avinu was done Yosef as his Rebbe. He ben Zekunim Miloi. He was his Chavrusa. He learned with him. So therefore, Vayikra Yaakov Sim Loisov, he was Korea, all is Begudim Kedin Korea, which is an Amar Rebbe. There is a very interesting Shilta Geboyim, which is brought down at the beginning of Masechtas Avodah Zarah. Shilta Geboyim explains why is one mutter to be Korea Beged. It's a din of Baal Tashkus, one's not allowed to ruin any a Beged. And Shilta Geboyim answers, it's an ois base in the beginning of the Masechtas Avodah Zarah. He brings down B'Shem Rabbeinu Peretz, which was one of the Rishonim, because the mitzvahs kriya, the mitzvahs asay of kriya, is doicha the issa of lois ashkes, of bal tashkes. The mitzvah of to be kriya, and that mitzvah is doicha the issa to destroy, to be a mashkes. That means that really when one tears the beged loyleini, Korea Lames, one is being mashkis, and one really should be over the lava Baal Tashkis. The reason why one's not over the lava Baal Tashkis is because the assay of the mitzvah's Korea is doichelas. The question is, there's a shver shayla, why is it bechelal Baal Tashkis? There's a lucha, which the Gemara mentions at the end of the comment of Tzadik Aleph on the base, and it's brought down in the Rambam, the Peg Vom Hechas Meluchim, the Sheikh Novara brings it down, all the Rishonim and the Poskim bring down, that when a thing is ma'ula bedomim, that means a thing is more worth for the thing the person wants to do with it. Let's say a person has an expensive clothing and he has to mop up the floor because udam chushim mo'id is coming, and therefore he's going to ruin his beged. If it's ma'ula bedomim, if it's more worthy for the reason what he's doing with it, even if he's destroying it, and the beged wasn't, the chafetz wasn't created for that purpose, there's no Baal Tashkis. Because the Isra Baal Tashkis is destroying. And when you're using it for an important purpose, you're not destroying, you're just using it. So even in a case when you're not using the Chayfetz as it was created, you're using it for a different form. But if you're using it for a very important form, it's Me'ula B'domim, it's worth more for the thing you're using it with. Let's say the beged is worth £10, and you're going to do something with it, and you're going to earn £20, even though you're not using it as the way it should be used, and you're destroying it, that's not called you're destroying it. That means you're using it because when it's Me'ula B'damim, you're not a destroyer. Therefore, the Shaila is here, why, when one is Korea Beged, why does one have to say, why does the Shulchan Gemara have to say that it is Bal Tashkes, but the mitzvah of Korea is Doicha the Issa of Bal Tashkes? No. There's no Issa of Bal Tashkes at all, not because one is Doicha the other. Because a mitzvah, everyone knows a mitzvah is as chushev as anything else. And the Mefarshim say, there's a opponent of Yufis and Pashas Shoftim, and there's a Sefer Hasidim, and it's mentioned all over the place, that one can take a chayfetz and can use it for a Dvar Mitzvah, even if he's destroying it. Because a mitzvah has the chashivas, as chashivas as anything else, even more than that. So why does the Shulchan Gemara have to say that the reason why one can destroy a beged with Bekiyam Mitzvah's Kriya is because the Asay of Kriya is Doicha de Issa of Bal Tashkes? It's simple. He's allowed to destroy it because he's not destroying it. He's using it for a very chushuba thing. To answer this question, I just want to tell a very interesting story, which is a true story, which happened not long ago. In the wartime, leider, everyone knows what, Yidden came back to their houses. There was a young bucher in Poland, one of the towns. And he lost his parents and all his family. And he came back by himself, and he came to his house, his parents' house, and he saw the lights were on, people were there, and he knocked on the door, and the guy opened the door, and he said, "What do you want?" He said, "You know, this is my house, this is my parents' house. I want to come back to this house." So the guy said, "Just 1 minute." And he walked upstairs, and he comes down, and he takes out the gun, and he said to him, "Listen, if you come to this house once more, I'm giving you the last chance, I'm going to shoot you in your head." So he closed the door, and the guy, and the Yidden Abach, did as all the other Yidden did, he escaped Poland, and he arrived in the shores of America. And Baruch Hashem, he had nisim mefluis, as all other Yidden had in those times. He built up a beautiful family, and he became a very rich man also. And not long ago, he decided he's going back to Poland. He wants to go to Kippur Ovis, the few Ovis that were left there, the grandfathers and great-grandfathers. And he took his children along, and he decided, "Let's go and see, I want to show you what, you know, where I lived," and all the rest. He arrived back there in Poland, and he told his children, "You know, let's maybe see if this old Rusho is still alive in the house. Let's see what's..." And he knocked on the door, and lo and behold, this old Tagoy opened the door. And he said, "You know who I am? I'm the boy you know, this house really belongs to me, and I'm the boy you sent away. Don't worry, I didn't come to take the house back. I came to say thank you to you. Because you earn $100 in 3 months. And you have to worry every morning what you're going to eat the next day. I'm a very rich man. I went to America, I was successful, and I became very rich, and I built up a nice family. I want to say thank you to you. And I want to show you that $100 is nothing to me." And he took out from his jacket a big wad of a few thousand dollars, and he starts tearing out one after the other. And the guy became white, and his children said, "Daddy, daddy, you stop, it's insurance." He said, "No, no." And he started, "You see what $100 is?" Another $100 started. "You know, $1,000 is nothing." He took all the $2,000-$3,000 and he threw them in the face of the guy, and he said, "Bye bye." The Shaila was, it's a true story, Pochasia, it's a true story that happened not long ago. And someone asked me if it's, maybe it's an Issa from Bal Tashkes. Issa Bal Tashkes. It's a time, 10 to 9. Issa Bal Tashkes. L'choyer, one can say, "No, there's no Bal Tashkes here." The comma, because as we explained before, a thing which is Me'ula B'damim, which is more worthy for a person than the thing in itself, these few thousand dollars, he was a rich man, and for him at least, it was much more worth to take all his Me'koma and throw it into the guy's face. And even though maybe for a different person, not Me'ula B'damim, but in the poskim it says, and it's a Tshuva's different Chaim, and other poskim, that Me'ula B'damim doesn't mean it has to be Me'ula B'damim for the whole world. If it's much a rich person, and for him it's worth to tear something out for his Tzruchim, and it's more worth in his eyes, then it's Me'ula B'damim, it's okay, he's allowed to do it. The Shaila is, was he allowed to tear the dollars up? He was l'choyer allowed to tear the dollars up because of Me'ula B'damim. The emissary is up there, that's initially they push it.
You're not allowed to tear the dollar.
Never heard of that. maybe they'd be happier. There's less dollars, the dollar's worth more, and the pound's worth more. There's less. What?
It's written in God we trust.
Oh, that's a good. That's good. The truth is just written God we trust. But God we trust.
Well, I don't believe it was the correct thing to have done.
You don't believe that?
No.
Well, you weren't in his situation, so. Anyway, we're not speaking about if it was the correct thing to do or not. We're just speaking about if it was Issa Bal Tashkus or not. The emissaries, I'll mention shortly, because time's running out. To mention shortly, there's a machloikus in the Gemur, machloikus with Shoinim, in the Gemur in Shabbos, Tav Kuf Hei Umadot. The Gemur says, and maybe you'll agree to that Gemur, I hope you will agree to that Gemur, the Gemur says that one is allowed to tear and want to destroy Kalim, Gemur Shabbos Kuf Hei Umadot, Kedei Lahatl Emesal B'nei Beisai. Today, to make order, so there should be a covert and there should be order in the house to show that he's in the mood to make order, he's allowed to tear up begudim and begudim.
Dinner set and swivel.
Pardon?
Take all his dinner sets, china and
butter. If that's the way he makes order in the house. And that's what the Gemara says. I hope that he's in a bad state if he has to do that to make order in his house. And Lemaise, the Gemara brings stories of Amamruim. I can't remember, I haven't got the Gemara in front of me, Reb Amnuna and other Amamruim, who did that, who tore out Begudim and other things. It's the Gemara Shabbos Kofelim base. There is a big machlokes of Shoinim. If that story, that the Gemara is talking about real solid Kalim or Kalim that weren't worth anything. The smag and the. No, that's a different Gemara. That's a different Gemara. That's a different Gemara. That's a Gemara Kiddushin. It's a machlokes Rishonim. There are Rishonim who learn the smag and I can't remember the other Rishonim what the names were, who learned the Gemara Kapshutai that we're talking about normal kalim, and they were allowed to tear the kalim up. The smack in the Sefer Chinuch and the Mashu there. And the Shulchan Aruch Rav brings him down halacha, learn that no, that it wasn't solid kelim, wasn't good kelim, it was torn kelim, it was kelim weren't worth anything anyway, and there was no bal tashkus on his kelim anyway. He just did it to show that he's in the mood of tearing up his kelim. La'atil ema b'nei beisei, but in the case of when it's kelim, full kelim, good kelim, there's no heter to tear and destroy the kelim. The shaila is why not? Why is there no? Why shouldn't there be a heter if the way of making seder in his house is to destroy the kelim? Why, in that case, is he not allowed to tear the kelim and destroy the kelim? As previously mentioned, if it's a me'ula b'domim, it's worth more for that tzorech. One is allowed to tear and do what they want because it hasn't got a shem hashchusa. He's using the kelim, not destroying the kelim, because it's worth more for his tzorech he has. That's the shaila. And there's more shailas. The clock is ticking. So just want to say a vot, which I think is an emistic vot, and I'll answer the question. The reason why one is allowed to use a keli, destroying it, if the tzorech is mu'le b'domen, if the tzorech is more worthy than what the keli is, the keli for other tzorech, for the normal tzorech, for instance, he takes a baguette, which is useful wearing, and he uses it, he destroys it in a form. But when he has more of a revach from destroying it, the reason why he's allowed to do that is because he's not destroying. The Torah says lesashchis, you're not allowed to destroy. He's not destroying it; he's using it because it's not the shem destroying is chal only when you're doing something and you're destroying it in a way, in a form that it's not made for that purpose, and you have no te'eles. They haven't got the real te'eles from it. The reason why when something is more worth in the mu'le b'dom is the heter is because he's not destroying it, he's using it. What will happen when it's a case when the tzorech is to destroy, the actual act of destroying? Well, one needs to take, one has to beg it, one has to tear it up in pieces to to do whatever it is to make a long rope, which is very important to him. He's not destroying it, he's using it. But what happens if one is taking a beggar and he's tearing it for the shame of tearing it? He wants to tear it, not that it needs to be torn. He has to tear it because he wants people to see that he's destroying. And the destroying is a tzarech chud l'ma'oid. But he wants the destroying. He wants to show, he wants to be l'hatl eimal b'nei beisa. He wants to show, make Satan his house. He wants to show, I'm a destroyer. I'm destroying it. Beware, be careful. So, the Shem Ashchusa is chal. The Shem, he's mashchis. He's mashchis for a very big tzarech. But you can't say that he's not destroying, he's using it. Because his whole purpose is he should be a destroyer. And that's the way he's showing his koyach. And that's the purpose of his tearing up the beggar. Ashtikla alam de Shavat. Yeah? Yeah, that he has to do afterwards. But we're talking about before he goes to psychiatrist.
Sure, well, there's another way of doing it.
Yeah, sure, if there's another way of doing it, he's not allowed to do that. If there's other ways of doing it, certainly he's not allowed to do that. But if there's no other way, but just in the way of destroying, so even though he has a big tzoyer, but he's a destroyer. And that's the reason why they're showing him, the das of showing him is that one is matl eimal bnei beisoy, he's not allowed to destroy good kelim, because he's a destroyer even though the tzoyer is very, very big. Therefore, in the case of Korea, when one is Korea, loyalenu, as the halukh of Korea, it's the same thing. The mitzvah is like a very, very, very mu'le bedomim. It's very important. But the aim of the mitzvah is to make a meister Korea, to make it to destroy the beggar. That's the way the person gives his tzara out. And that's what Chazal wa Masakin, that one should be Korea, and that's the way the person brings out his tzar. Therefore, he is a destroyer. And then when he's tearing his beggar, he's a destroyer. And that's the reason why I think this, I will agree with you for another few seconds, that this guy who tore the dollars up, even though he had a very big satisfaction, maybe which was worth thousands, but he was mashchis, because he was destroying, because his tzorich was to show the guy, I'm a destroyer, I'm tearing it up. If the dollars would come torn up, he would have no tellus from it. His tellus is not that it should be torn up. His tellus is the tearing, the meiser tearing. And the meiser tearing is a meiser shchosser. And therefore, as important as it was, he's over the Baal Tashkis. But, and well, that will finish, but I think maybe that there's no Baal Tashkis when tears up money. Because I'm not the bekant, I'm sure the people who know better than me in the currency how it works. But I think, even though in the Gemara is mentioned in Halacha, one throws a dinner shazua up to the yam. That's what Tosafot says in Kedushin Daf Lamed Aleph. One is over Baal Tashkis, because a dinner zua has its own worth. It's zua with zua. But what is it? What happens if I owe someone money and I write him a shtar chof? And at the end of the day, I go and I tear it, or someone else comes and tears it up. Is that Baal Tashkis? L'chore, there's no Baal Tashkis, because the money which he owes me, which I owe him, it's there, everything's there. The Issa Baal Tashkis is being Mashkis Hanua Mahu Oilam. There's no difference if through that someone else has more Hanua than me. And therefore, when one tears up a Shtar Chov, I don't think there should be Baal Tashkis, because he's not tearing up any Hanua B'Be'etzen, any Shavius. He has to be Mashkis Shavius. And therefore, what happens if one goes and tears up a whole lorry load of pounds? What's going to happen? I think that what's going to happen is the pound's going to go up, right? No more worth. And more pounds there is. Is that true? I think so. If one goes, sure, yeah, I think it is true. I checked it up. It is true. If America goes and they print millions of dollars, what happens with the dollar? Right. So someone agrees, at least someone agrees with me, it drops down, the value drops down. As the less dollars, it goes up. That's it. So what you're doing with tearing up money, you're not doing anything, you're just bringing the shavius up. You're not tearing up any shav, you're not tearing up a beged, you're not tearing up a dinner shelzor, you're not doing anything. Sorry for going over time, but shavius.